It is time to go deeper in God's Word. It's time to engage in truth. Here is Dr. Steve Ford and Pastor John Bornshee.
You're listening to Engage in Truth, and we are so happy that you've joined us today. This is Steve Ford, your co-host, along with Pastor John Bornshee, senior pastor at Calvary Fellowship Fountain Valley here in Colorado Springs, Colorado. We are fortunate to have a very special guest with us on the show today, and so we'll be taking a break in our series on the history of the Bible. Remember that the prior episodes of the broadcast, as well as other helpful content, are archived for your review on the church's website at calvaryfountain.com. That's calvaryfountain.com. Well, you know what? We are excited to get started with today's show. So here's Pastor John to get us rolling.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Ford. Well, before we get into our very special guest's topic today, I'm very excited about today's program. We love when we have a guest in the studio, especially to talk about what we have to share with our listener today. But we do have to at least cover the fact that at any given moment, it seems like something is happening in the Middle East or around the world, quite frankly, that give people a bit of concern or at least get them rattled a bit, which shouldn't be the case. As believers in Jesus Christ, we know prophecy. We have at least read it. We should know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior and know that we are to be unshaken, especially in world events. But it is something that we're keeping a close eye on, especially as we're living in exciting times. And we do realize that inevitably, at some point in the very near future, I believe, we're going to see the fulfillment of Ezekiel 38 and 39. And of course, Psalm 83, we could throw that one into the equation as well, because how can we not see the signs of the times? As we've talked about the last couple of weeks, we talked about the signs of the times and the sons of Issachar being able to decipher those and to know what we are to do. Well, here we've seen now this alliance between Iran and Russia and Turkey. It's building blocks toward the exact things that we read about in Ezekiel 38 into 39. And so with that, we find that we're constantly monitoring the situation closely. And what we ought to be doing then is not to be fearful, but rather seizing the moment. And we've talked about this, that this is not something that we constantly become so enamored with that we forget our duty as believers to be individuals of prayer, individuals fasting, individuals going out and being a part of the fulfillment of the Great Commission. So I would encourage you, our listener, please do not be shaken by world events, but rather be mindful that time is short and of the essence. We are to give the gospel as long as there is breath in our bodies. Let us share the joy of Jesus Christ and lead others to salvation. And we represent Christ every single day. So we'll talk more about it. Obviously, as we record this program, it seems like every day there is news breaking. And, you know, we are following friends who were right there on the front lines. I have individuals who are sending me videos from Jerusalem real time. Of course, there are others who follow Amir Sarfati and others. And they're great sources, but sometimes it can be overwhelming. And we don't want people to fall into depression, falling into anxiety. Rather, go to the Word, stay in the Word, be people of the Word and prayer-filled. So it's something we can't stress enough on this program. We'll probably cover it again next week as more details unravel, but please keep Israel in prayer, all of its leadership. Pray that there is salvation that comes to the tribes of Israel as well as to the tribes of Ishmael. Pray that the Lord Jesus Christ be made manifest through this, right? I mean, we can pray for the protection of the people and completely miss the point that this is all about salvation of souls. So we want peace. We want peace of Jerusalem. That is a biblical directive that we pray to that end. But we also need to be a people who are saying, Lord, bring yourself glory through this. May there be bended knee before you. May people be shaken in their sleep. If you have to get their attention by coming to them in their dreams, make yourself known, and I pray that numbers will be added to the kingdom today, right? And so we can keep praying that, and Dr. Ford will come back to that, talk about it more. But let me just introduce our guest for a moment, and let me share just a few thoughts on this. We have our annual visit from Commander Frank Lewis. I'm so excited that he is back in the studio here today, because we have a heart for those who are serving our community on the front lines every single day, people who are putting their lives on the line in service to the people here in all of El Paso County, whether it be Colorado Springs, Security, Widefield, Fountain, and all of our surrounding communities. We love to bring individuals who represent the community front lines right here into the studio and to hear from them personally. And Commander Frank Lewis has over 35 years now in law enforcement, 20 plus years, as I understand it, with Detroit.
That is correct.
And so, Frank, we are so glad that you're back here on Engage in Truth with us. Welcome back, my friend.
Thank you. It's good to be back, sir.
Well, let me introduce at least our subject today. In the past, we have often talked about just your passion, your heart, your faithful service to our community and the men and women that you represent. And of course, my son is also in law enforcement now as well. I'm so proud of him. And I see the things that he goes through and I just have such a heart. My grandfather was a sheriff in Yolo County in California. And so I have a deep love for those who serve our community in the way that you do. And with such respect that you command, we just are so grateful anytime you get to be on the program with us. But I want our listener to know that there are 708,001 full-time law enforcement officers employed in the United States as of 2022. That's the second highest amount since 2008, when we had just over 708,569, according to the latest statistics, those who are employed in that line of work. So we've had about a 48,000 increase in officers serving on the front lines throughout the entire United States just in 1 year. So that's fantastic to see so many that are not only raising their hand to say, here I am, send me, and I'll go and represent in this way. But we also know it goes without question, this is a very dangerous profession. And we know that there have been, even last year, 51 law enforcement officers were killed in the United States in 2023. But we praise God that number has gone down. 2021, that was 73. 2022, it was 61. Last year, it was 51. That is the right trend. We praise God for that. Now, currently, there are 23,785 names that are engraved on the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial. And we just say those kind of numbers because I think we all need to just pause and reflect for a moment and just say thank you to those who put their lives on the line every single day in this way. So often we see the red and blue in our rearview mirror and then get frustrated. Oh boy, here's another ticket. Don't they have anything else better to do? And we get frustrated instead of saying, Lord, thank you that we have individuals who are monitoring things, keeping civilized society somewhat civilized with everything that's happening in the world today. So I just want to at least highlight before we get into some dialogue with you, Frank, and we always love your perspectives on this, but I think our listener needs to know the Bible has a lot to say about those who stand on the front lines and do so honorably and respectably. It's something that we recognize that there's authorities that God has put into place. In Romans chapter 13, verse 1, he says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Then in verse 4, he says, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. And police officers, peace officers, represent the rulers mentioned in this passage and extend their authority. And it's fairly well known that God gave a set of laws, and with it, guidelines for the enforcement of those laws. Any law is essentially meaningless without enforcement. And the people in biblical times may not have had what we deem as police officers as we think of them today, but they definitely had those who had to promote justice and enforce the law. And the Bible cites a number of instances in that case. The watchmen, as they're called in Ezekiel 33:6, armed guards, as we see when they were rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem in Nehemiah 4:13, or even judges, specific judges, Ezekiel 44:24. So God is a God of justice. That's quite clear. Deuteronomy 32:4 says that. He demands justice of his people. He says, follow justice and justice alone in Deuteronomy 16:20. And then we can turn over to Psalm 82, and we see just in reference there of verses 3-4 and just sort of pulling that out. He says, defend the weak and the fatherless, uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed, rescue the weak and the needy, deliver them from the hand of the wicked. flip over to Proverbs, and we read in Proverbs 21:15, it is a joy for the just to do justice, but destruction will come on the workers of iniquity. Amos 5:24 tells us, but let justice run down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. So a Christian that's involved in law enforcement, police work, they're doing a good and godly thing. Police officers who enforce just law of the land should consider themselves a servant of God, and they're doing a good work enforcing the law, especially toward the lawbreaker. They're doing God's work. One of the most important jobs of every police officer is the restraint of evil in society. It is a dangerous career, but a noble calling and a profession that is congruent with a biblical desire for justice and righteousness. So, Frank, I look at my son, I look at men like you, and sometimes we go and see these superhero movies. I know I'm putting you up on a pedestal, and I know your humble heart is not to be there.
No, absolutely not.
But I see these guys in there, they put on this super suit and they run out there and they fight crime. And I'm like, I'm surrounded by people like this, even in our church, who are the real heroes of the day. And I have to just, I question this. I go, are you just cut from a different cloth? I mean, as police officers, you just seem to have to be wired differently to say, you know, of all the professions, honorable professions that are out there, you said, here I am, I'm going to do this work, go to places where other people won't go, do the thing that perhaps other people can't do, because it just seems like you're wired different. What makes you so different? What makes a police officer so different than perhaps somebody like me, if I can even ask that question?
I guess my perspective is different because, you know, I don't view it that way. I enjoy helping people who can't help themselves.
Mm.
I truly do. And, you know, my father was a public servant. You know, he spent 20 years in the military. Mm. You know, my grandfather was a public servant. He spent time in the military. And so, you know, I enjoy helping people who can't help themselves. And it's a great profession, but I think we all play our role in society. Mm. You know, I was always taught that if I'm going to do something, just make sure I do it to the best of my ability, whatever that is. And no matter if I'm a garbage man, no matter if I'm a school teacher, no matter if I'm a street sweeper, just be the best you can. So when I decided to become a police officer, I said, I'm just going to do the best that I possibly can. Mm. And so I don't think we're wired differently. I think everybody has their different motivations.
Yeah.
But I also believe that everybody's role in this society is important. I don't care if you're, again, I don't care if you're a school teacher. I don't care if you're a garbage collector. We are all important. Yeah. We truly are. And, you know, that's the way I view it.
And we know you're a humble man, and but you command respect. You've served for over 35 years in this role. But was there at some point when you were a child where you just said, I want to be that? I mean, did you feel like God called you to this?
I would tell you it was my buddy. He became a police officer. He and I grew up together. Mm. And he was telling me how much fun he was having doing the job and, you know, helping out people. So I said, you know, I don't know what I want to do. I think I'll try this out. But I remember during my OR board, when it was over, Sergeant Slappy pulled me to the side and he said, you know what, Frank? He said, I see you becoming command officer in this organization. I was like, yeah, you really don't know who I am then. Because that I don't see. But, you know, he's seen something in me. And years later, when I became a command officer, you know, we had a chance to cross paths again. And we had that conversation. And you just know. But I think it's just because I was instilled with just be a good person. Mm. Just be a good person. And there's nothing greater for me than to help someone who is in distress or who is in need. And it doesn't matter. It could be a domestic violence situation. It could be I locked my keys out of my car. I don't know where my kid is. It doesn't matter. They're all the same. I just enjoy helping people, and I still enjoy helping people.
Mm, well, and you're very good at it. And I think last time we had you on the program, we were elated by the statistics that were showing that everything in your area and your jurisdiction, that crime was decreasing and the safety of the citizens were ever increasing. That security was present. And I think people are feeling that when we have men and women who, and I believe this matters, God honoring men and women
absolutely
in critical roles and their influence that spreads out and it cascades through like a ripple in a pond. You're affecting those who are under your leadership, and that's spreading through the whole community. And I think we're all feeling that, that God has appointed his man for such a time as this. And so I praise God that he has a man like you and the people you represent. I know it's a team. I know he's a humble person. You are not going to take all the credit upon yourself.
No credit at all.
And that's what we'd expect. You're that kind of leader. And I think that we as the citizens, if I can speak on their behalf, to just say thank you for all that you do. It's quite evident you're working very hard on our behalf.
I appreciate that, sir. But God gets all the glory.
Amen to that.
That's for sure.
Well, let me ask you this. I know that you and I have had a lot of fascination about just statistics and laws.
Yes.
And you and I have thrown out a quote a number of times. We've talked about how many laws are in America. Right. And the round number is 330,000. Well, before you came on the program, I added all of this up. I wanted to make sure that I had the right number for this. Here's what I came to conclusion by way of adding these all up, and each year this happens. Our congressional leaders since 1973 have enacted 356,745 laws in America just since 1973.
Right.
Since World War II, Congress has typically enacted 4 to 6 million words of new law every 2 year Congress. Just my mind hurts just thinking about that. Last year, there were 14,200 new bills and resolutions enacted into law. In 2022, there were 17,817, the highest since 1977. And recently, I read that people were starting to grow weary that many new laws seem to be written in defense of criminals rather than law-abiding citizens. For example, we hear all the time about what's going on in New York with squatters, and they come in and a law-abiding citizen that's worked hard, maybe they inherited a piece of property, maybe they own a number of properties, and if it's not caught fast enough, somebody can go in there, take possession of it, and suddenly the officers are facing this scenario with almost a he said, she said. This person says they're the rightful owner. This person says that, oh no, they're a tenant. Even though they have no proof of it. And so suddenly we hear all these things hitting headlines of what seems to be more and more laws in this kind of a radical time that we live in that seem to be more geared toward defending criminals. Like, how much can they actually steal before it's actually now enforceable? And these sort of things. I know this has to grieve your heart, but how do you, as a Christian man in law enforcement, try to handle this ever-changing landscape? I mean, do you ever feel that you're required to enforce laws that you don't agree with? I mean, how do you handle this?
You know, for me is first I have to understand and know that there's no way that we're going to arrest our way out of this.
Right.
It's not going to happen. And we also have to understand that arresting someone, it costs money.
Hmm.
And society has to ask, you know, are we willing to pay for this? You know, I was just talking to, it was a couple of years ago, I was talking to a command officer over at the county, and just one inmate, their medical expenses were $16,000 a month.
Wow.
So, you know, we're not going to arrest our way out of it. And we have to ask ourselves, you know, I can't afford to get discouraged. I can't. You know, we all have our obstacles in front of us. But we have to figure out a way to either go through them, over them, under them, around them. Because at the end of the day, the 42,000 citizens that I represent deserve that. And like I tell my officers, you know, all the time we discuss this and I say, hey, listen, if you got to arrest them 20 times, arrest them 20 times. All we can do is work within the boundaries that we have. But at the end of the day, our citizens deserve this. They truly do. And what I'm very mindful of is we are, you know, for me, Frank Lewis, if God is not the authority of every aspect of my life, I will never bear fruit.
Amen.
I don't care if it's as a husband, as a commander, as a father, as a neighbor, as a brother, whatever aspect or title that I have in life, if God is not my authority, it will never bear fruit. So I think we need to take a lesson from that and just make God our authority in every aspect of our life.
That's right.
And we won't need 330,000 laws.
Trying to legislate morality. Why are we not being successful? Yeah. You know, in Romans 13 and 1 Peter 2 teach us specifically to respect those who are in authority, especially those who enforce the law. And I know Dr. Ford and I have been concerned about this. We've shared it on the broadcast a number of times, that with the breakdown of the home, has respect for law enforcement officers diminished? It seems like there's got to be a cascading effect. If we are no longer teaching prayer and biblical understanding of what moral values are and ethics and so forth that come out of God's word, if that's not being taught in the home or in the school system, you are left to clean up the mess of that. Are you seeing things change real time and I guess it's always a hard job. You're always dealing with sometimes the worst of scenarios and people that might be inebriated or dealing with all sorts of things. Has it gotten tougher though over the past few years?
I mean, you know, I think it's gotten tougher. And I believe one of the reasons it's gotten tougher is because we have access to everything.
Hmm.
So, you know, we're always bombarded with it. It's on our phones, it's on our TVs. And what I realized is that, you know, it was the same when I was young. You know, I have to understand that everybody today doesn't have the same love and support that I had growing up.
Hmm.
Nor was God in the house. You know, when I was a student resource officer at the alternative school, you know, I was just surprised how many students there felt like God didn't love them.
Hmm.
And nobody's ever told them any differently. You know, so I made it a conscious decision that said, hey, you know, every day you have a brand new start. Your past does not dictate your future. You know, God forgives everyone. And reality is, I told him, I said, I'm no different than you. I fall short every day. And God loves us. And you know, he wants the best for us. And so understand that you're not alone. So again, it just goes back to, If no one tells you who God is, no one explains to you how much he loves you, you know, you're going to feel despair. You're going to feel like there's no hope. So, you know, for me, when I get up, you know, I'm always asking, how do I glorify you today? How do I advance your kingdom? How do I become a disciple that you're proud of?
Mm.
And please just put it on my heart and show me what it is that you want me to do.
Amen.
Because at the end of the day, God says all of us, we only have one job, and that's to be his disciple.
Amen to that. Well, in our final couple of minutes, it goes by so fast. Frank, we're going to have you on more often. I love your wisdom. How can we as churches do a better job of supporting our law enforcement officers?
Know, pray for us. But like I explained to my officers, please understand that we are all one bad decision away from being the person on the other side of us.
Hmm.
And, you know, reading one text message that we shouldn't be reading while we're driving and don't see that person coming in front of us. And we're the person on the other side. So, you know, understand that we have to have compassion. And like I tell my officers, I tell them what works for me. And I tell them, you know, I try to share God with people every opportunity that I get.
Mm.
And just understand that we all have value. And to use their discretion when they're out there. I give them that authority. We give them the authority to use their discretion.
Mm.
And I think it's important.
That's right.
So just pray for us.
You know, and I don't want us to ever think that, you know, so often we can use that phraseology in Christendom. I'll pray for you. And it's kind of a pass off where we just say, right. You know, it's almost like a pat on the back, a little
right. Shoulder
tap, and we're on our way. I think we as a church really need to take this seriously, that we lift up our law enforcement officers, really pray for you and your protection.
But, you know, even us as leaders, we also have to do that.
Mm, it's true.
You know, every morning, you know, I when I walk my dog, I pray to Alphabet. And, you know, so I try to go through each member within the organization.
Oh, wow.
And pray for them. Because reality is, I cannot imagine a world where nobody's praying for you.
Mm, amen. Well, thank you for your service.
No, God gets all the glory, but thank you.
You always bestow wisdom on us. No, and I hope our listeners have just hung on every word. We are so grateful for men and women who represent our community and do so under leaders like yourself. And so we're going to continue to pray for you and lift you up and
ask the
Lord just to give you great. Maybe your sphere of influence continues to grow wider because we need more out there like you. So
I appreciate
you.
That. God gets all the glory.
Amen.
I appreciate
glory
that.
To God. Well, thank you for listening to Engage in Truth here today. If you want to listen again to Commander Frank Lewis and share his insights with your friends and family, go to calvaryfountain.com. This is a ministry of Calvary Fellowship Fountain Valley Church, and you can find this broadcast and others there. And come and join us on Sunday. Our services are 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. on Sundays, and we'd love to see you there. God bless you, my friends. Take care.